club.
Here we go.
Because the run home just got a little bumpier. Rush, rush.
You cannot be serious.
I'm going to see you every friggin' week.
There's got to be an investigation into this.
This is the Triple M Rush Hour with MG.
And where else would you want to be on a Monday? We had the cars back at the mountain, and MG, most importantly, we had the footy back on the weekend.
Here's Deeds, and he got over easily, but didn't. Oh, did he get a tap? I think he did. Dogs are in front. This is a remarkable turnaround. And it's been all blue and white since half-time.
The dancing feet. And now a little lift over the top. Brilliant. Markel Shusayenza. Fantastic. Finished off by Derbyshire.
Here's Mitchell again. With Paulo on his outside. This time Norman gets it here. What a ball. Mitchell for Walker. Two tries for the Rabbitohs.
Final corner now for Shane Van Gisbergen. Lines it up towards the chequered flag. And it's 2-from-2 at Bathurst. Shane Van Gisbergen.
Laurie to Luciano Leilua. Back to Laurie. Trouble. Laurie. He's got a double. Oh, Dane Laurie.
What about your old boy Dane Laurie going from the Panthers to the West Tigers, making it look easy?
Yes, he had a fantastic first run at first grade. Fullback, mind you. There was speculation whether Moses Mbai might start there, but it looks like young Dane Laurie might have secured the fullback spot for the Tigers.
Well, we've got his captain, James Tarmow, set to join us in about 20 minutes' time. MG, your ladder continues tonight as well. You'll tell us who you think finishes sixth. But up next, so much football from the weekend to talk about. Harry Grant, bad news for him, but Joseph Suwali, good news be on the horizon for the young 17-year-old. We'll get to that next. Rush Hour with MG and Liam, Triple M.
You're listening to the Triple M Rush Hour with MG, 6 to 7pm weekdays on 104.9 Triple M.
It's the Rush Hour with MG and Liam Flanagan on Triple M. James Tarmow, West Tigers fans, your captain, will join us very shortly after a terrific trial victory yesterday over the Sea Eagles. But first up, we need to do this.
Trending now.
Yeah, like I feel as though I'm ready, but I know there's a lot of steps to get to that point. So it's out of my hands. It's more the NRL, so.
MG, that is the voice of teenage sensation Joseph Suwali. I've never heard him speak before.
No, a lot of people haven't. But I tell you what, everyone knows his name after his two-try performance in a trial game on the weekend.
Well, let's talk about it. He played for the North Sydney Bears over the weekend against the Canberra Raiders, reserve grade. That interview courtesy of Channel 7. What did you make of his performance? He says he's ready. Do you think he is?
Yeah, well, I watched it on KO. I streamed the game, and I can't remember the last time I watched a reserve grade game featuring a teenager playing in it, and I was intrigued by it. He did nothing wrong. He did everything right. He looks like he was made to play. I can see him playing in the centre or wing position at 17. He's 6'4.5. He's, close to 100 kilos. His body is big. And I've said on the show last week, I think that some cases are just, it's horses for courses. And I think that Joseph Suwali was born to play first grade, and I think he will.
Two tries, a try-saving tackle. I'm not saying they're easy tries, MG, but he hasn't necessarily broken the line from 30 metres out.
Oh, no, and I think a lot of people, excuse me, are saying the same thing as you are, Liam. Like, these tries, he didn't have to do much at all. He had to be there in the right position, and he had to bulldoze his way over a couple of times, but the fact that he was in that position to score, and most people who aren't Roosters fans, which is a lot, would have been hoping that the kid fell over. And that's the cold, hard facts. They would have thought, the Roosters, they've got another one. They're going to get special dispensation, and that irks people. Well, but if you look inside the real question here, whether this kid's right for first grade, I think he is. I think that he's a born athlete. He's a phenom of an athlete. He could have played NBA. He could have played AFL at the highest level. He chose rugby league, and I think that he is going to be one of the real superstars of our game. And I think that it's right that they let him play. I don't think that the Roosters, and in particular Trent Robinson, would let this kid play if he wasn't ready.
Well, I reckon if you'd asked somebody who didn't know what he looked like to pick the 17-year-old in that game, they wouldn't have picked Joseph Suwali. He certainly looks built for the game. All right, so you reckon he gets to play before his 18th birthday, which is in August. The NRL is expected to decide potentially before round one, which is great news. The other big storyline out of the weekend is Harry Grant, MG. I mean, Melbourne Storm fans and rugby league fans are just excited about what's this kid can do in his second full season in first grade. Looks like he's going to set. Looks like he's going to miss at least the first 3 weeks of the season. A high grade medial ligament sprain. It's disappointing.
Yeah, it's very disappointing. In trial games, and that's the fun and facts of trial games. That you can, you know, you want to play them because you want to get a run under your belt before the first comp game, which is in 2 weeks' time. But there's that element of injury that just creeps around the corner and grabs you by the, in this case, the knee of Harry Grant. And thank God they've got a bloke called Brandon Smith at their disposal, because they're going to need him for the good first month of footy that that Harry Grant may be absent. So, yeah, look, it's injuries happen in our games. It's one of them things that you can never discount. It's always going to happen in games. Unfortunately for Harry, or fortunately, it was only a medial tear of his knee, which is repairable in 3 or 4 weeks, which is good news. The bad news is that they'll miss him for that opening great game against South Sydney, which promises to be a blockbuster.
Tell you what about the performance of Cody Walker and Latrell Mitchell off the back of that Charity Shield game on Saturday evening? Wow.
I don't know what to make of this game. The Dragons fell to their 9th in a row, lost to the Rabbitohs, and I don't know whether the Dragons are really, really bad or the Rabbitohs were really, really good. I think it was a bit of both. And
little from column A, little from column B, perhaps.
Yeah, and I don't want to I don't want to read too much into trial footy, but you've got to. That's, as they say, you're only as good as your last game. And the Dragons had all off season to get their team ready for a performance like that. Like, come on, that's if I'm a Dragons supporter, I'm a little bit worried at the minute. I'm a little bit worried that we've had 4 months to, or three good months. So December, January, February to get our act right. And then we come out at Mudgee and give us our supporters a performance like that. That's not good enough.
One group of supporters that won't be worried at the moment, in fact, they might be getting a little bit of ahead of themselves, is the West Tigers supporters. Their performance yesterday against admittedly an undermanned Manly Seagulls outfit was something to behold. We're going to get the man who captained the side yesterday and will captain the side into this season on with us next. It's James Tarmow joining us on the Rush Hour with MJ and Liam. Triple M.
You're listening to the Triple M Rush Hour with MG, 6 to 7 p.m. weekdays on 104.9 Triple M.
It's the Rush Hour with MG and Liam Flanagan on Triple M. MG, a weekend of trial footy. We've just broken it down. One game we didn't speak about, though, because we knew we had this man joining us. The West Tigers, yesterday, on a sunbathed Leichhardt Oval, 52-18, destroying the Manly Seagulls.
Emphatic, wasn't it? I had the pleasure of playing one season at the Tigers, and in 1993, and I remember vividly running out down them stairs onto a sun-drenched Leichhardt Oval, and I bet our next guest enjoyed that same type of feeling yesterday.
Well, he's followed your path from Panthers to Tigers. We speak of the new West Tigers captain, James Tarmow. G'day, James.
G'day, guys.
Jimmy, we know it's only a trial, but 52-18, and Manly had a few of their troops out, but Madge McGuire must have been stoked about yesterday's performance.
Yeah, it was obviously pretty pleasing, and we had a couple of players in key positions do well, and I think that's probably the main thing going into this year, is just belief for those key players. We had the likes of Luke Brooks, and we had his other half partner Jock Madden play well, and Dane Laurie at the back there, who I thought was unreal. But yeah, it's just building, obviously just a trial match, just building a bit of confidence, obviously going into round one, and we've got the well-talked-about, well-touted Canberra Raiders.
Your leadership skills are starting to be well-renowned, especially at the foot of the mountains where you were for a couple of seasons. They spoke volumes of you. Now you've gone to a new club and you've been handed the captaincy. What leadership traits did you take to Tigertown, Jimmy, that you may have observed they might have needed on your early arrival there?
I think a bit of everything. I'm sort of hanging with the boys. I learnt a lot up in North Queensland with JT, Matt Scott up there, taking it all in from them. And then obviously coming down to Penrith and Jimmy Maloney. Now, I love Jimmy Maloney, but I actually learnt a fair bit of him, of what to do and of what not to do. So, like I said, I love him to death. But yeah, like he'd just get a bit carried away and see the boys just sort of drift off a bit. So, but no, it's just a bit of everything from every team that I've been at and from those superior leaders that I've been with. It's just taking the good stuff from there, and I've seen it being tested and improved and the like. So it's just all those little things put into one.
Who'd you steal the trick from of making all the bench players high-five the players at halftime? I saw a talk going around that you'd made that happen. Whose playbook has that come from?
Mate, I think it's a bit of a belief thing. This year, and obviously I wasn't at the Tigers last year, but being at Penrith, and you know, there wasn't any egos. There wasn't anyone. Everyone was in it for each other. Obviously, last year was a hard year because of COVID, and the boys that didn't get to play really got on the back of the first grade side. So, and I'm seeing the same sort of thing here at the Tigers. Everyone's all in for each other. We're all in for the same, obviously, common goal.
Now, I can see you smiling here, MG, because, Jimmy, MG tipped you guys to make the eight this year. I haven't heard a lot of people saying it, but MG has said, I think the Tigers will make finals. And, MG, as James just answered that question there about the belief and the similarities with the Panthers, the smile just started to spread across your face.
Well, it's not. I'm never one of these guys that says "I told you so." You know, it's but I am. Well, I believe that they've
got
a fantastic roster. They've got a great coach. Like, he's won a comp. You know, Madge McGuire knows what he's doing, and I love the fact that Dane Laurie, who Jimmy would know a lot about, has made his way to the Tiger Town. Stefano Yutoikamano, watch this kid. I've spoken about him on the show many a time, and I think we're going to see Luke Brooks come out of the shadow this year, because I compared it to Nathan Cleary at Penrith, who had that shadow of James Maloney for a couple of seasons. He kind of held himself in. And I think Luke Brooks, now that Benji has vacated the premises, he's got to take it on himself, I think.
Yeah, everything you said there, MG. You know, you mentioned Madge. He's got the credentials. He knows what he's doing. From what I've seen going through this preseason, he knows exactly what he wants. You mentioned, obviously, Sean Bloor and big Stefano Yutoikamano. Mate, hey, I don't think I've ever been flipped on my back so many times in a preseason in a wrestling dojo gym. He's a big boy. Also, big Tommy McKiley there.
Yes.
But Stefano, mate, he's big raps on him.
James Roberts, Jimmy the Jet. I mean, people said it was a speculative pickup by the Tigers. We know he's had his ups and downs. He looked good on the weekend. Do you think he's capable of regaining that form that made him one of the most feared centres in the comp?
Yeah, I'm going to have to pick my words. I don't want to put, you know, any pressure on him, because he's fit, mate. He did everything right in pre-season. He's fit. You know, he's looking good every time he gets the ball. Everyone just sort of, you can hear a gasp, because he just looks like he's going to do something. But, mate, like I said, he's fit. He's happy, which is, you know, one of the main things off the field. Yeah. So, mate, yeah, hoping for the best season for him.
Well, James Tamo, the captain of the West Tigers. Big game yesterday. It was just a trial, but West Tigers fans will be getting excited ahead of round one. James, always a pleasure. We'll chat to you again soon.
Pleasure's all mine. Thanks, guys.
You're listening to the Triple M Rush Hour with MG. 6 to 7pm weekdays on 104.9 Triple M.
Crash, bash. That's the Swan's way. Smith can't quite get it. Buddy hurled up. Hennebury's been magnificent. Malcheski, two goals that he'll never forget. And they're home all right. They've done it. What a team. That culture, the Bloods. What it's all about.
Oh, the 2012 Swans AFL Premiership, MG.
Yeah.
Beautifully called by one B. McAvaney. Bruce, the Golden Tonsils, who announced yesterday that his AFL calling days are over.
Yeah, one of the best we've ever had. And one of the best blokes we've ever had as well. And, you know, I'm glad that he's going out on top, because it's one of them things with commentators that, like sportsmen and women, that sometimes they just want to go one or two years too long, and we start remembering for that, not how good they were. And that takes me back to 2012. Wow, what a call. I've met him a few times. He's an encyclopedia of knowledge on all sports. Just a lovely, lovely bloke. I know he had some really good words of advice for you when you first started calling some AFL games.
You're spot on. I was fortunate enough to meet Bruce and grab a few minutes of his time at the SCG. In fact, one day he was there calling for Channel 7. I was calling a game for Triple M, and it was funny because the elevator doors opened and he was expecting me, and he popped in and he was in the middle of a conversation with one of the assistants that Seven had working with him that day. But he seemed to know everything about this assistant and their family, and he had this completely engaging conversation. And then he said to me, "Liam, I've just got to go and do this thing. I'll grab you on the way back up." He came and found me. And I just picked his brain and asked him for some advice on the calling the game. And he just said, mate, prepare like somebody's about to see you for the first time. And told me a story about how he made the shift from 10 to 7 because he was prepared as, you know, as though somebody saw him for the first time. And that's how he first got over to 7. So he, as you say, MG, one of the best to ever do it. And the great news for fans of Bruce McAvaney and fans of sport is that he's going to continue leading Channel 7's coverage of the horse racing, and he's going to be there front and centre when they call the Tokyo Olympics in the middle of the year.
Yeah, that's where I have him, my most vivid memories of him at the Olympics, calling Cathy Freeman in 2000, and just that was, for me, that was probably the best of all time.
Well done to Bruce, and it's not the end by any means. He still thinks his peak is ahead of him, MG. He still thinks he has room for improvement. That's the mark of the man.
Yeah, he's just Brucey, no, mate. It's time to relax. It's time to relax, Brucey, okay? Don't get carried away with yourself, brother. The peak is not around the corner, mate.
Keep on striving. Yeah, keep on striving. Speaking of the peak, MG, we are almost at the peak of your NRL ladder for 2021, but up next, you are going to tell us who you think finishes sixth. Any clues?
Western Sydney team.
Okay. All right, this is the Rush Hour with MG and Liam, Triple M.
You're listening to the Triple M Rush Hour with MG, 6 to 7 p.m. weekdays on 104.9 Triple M.
It's the Rush Hour with MG and Liam Flanagan on Triple M. MG, one of your old mates has been up to, I don't know if you'd call it naughtiness over the weekend, but he's been involved in a scuffle, your mate Cardi.
Bit of tomfoolery.
I want to get to that very shortly. But first, we are doing your ladder. Last week, we found out that the West Tigers and the Titans are the first two teams you think will be playing in finals. Let's find out who the next team is.
The ladder.
MG's ladder.
Yeah, I've got this Western Sydney team, which are the Parramatta Eels. Slipping a little bit this year. I don't see them having quite the season they had last year because of COVID and stuff like that. I just think that they might drop a little bit. I still think they'll play finals footy, and I still think they'll be prominent. But I keep saying on this you know, forecast ladder, Liam, that any team between 6th, where I've got these Eels coming, and 16th, could have been anywhere. Any team could have been anywhere. It's just so hard to predict. But I look at their team, and I look at their spine, which is very settled, and I like that. I like that in the club. But Parramatta will feel close to the same 13 as they did last season, except for Michael Jennings and Tom Apicic will go in for him. I'm not sure whether this is a good thing or a bad thing. I suppose on the plus is that they know each other backwards, but on the minus, all teams need a breath of fresh air, I think, each season in their starting lineup to just keep them on their toes a bit. Just keep them on their toes. And well, their new signings, we spoke to one here, Keegan Hipgrave, the other day. He'll probably come off the bench maybe. Papalihi from the Warriors, he might do the same. But I think they're 13. Gutho, Sivo, Opacic, Waka Blake, Fergo. Then you've got Dylan Brown, Moses, Kemba Gillard, Reid Marnie, Paulo, Lane, Madison, and Nathan Brown. That'll be their starting lineup. No difference to what they were last year. I would like to see someone from another club maybe in that forward pack, or maybe in the back line. I know Tom Opacic is, but you know, they've got other guys who I suppose are going to be pushing for spots as well. You know, Nick Niokori, I suppose, but the depth of Parramatta worries me a tad. That's all.
Okay. Do you like the news that has come out that reportedly the club is set to offer a 2-year extension to Mitchell Moses?
Yeah, I do, and I do like that. I also like what I heard in reports both today and yesterday that maybe they might be swapping a bit. Dylan Brown and Mitchell Moses are in the halves. They might be playing, you know, a bit of half for Dylan Brown with controlling the game and you know, just letting Mitchell Moses do his free. He's a really good ball runner, Mitch Moses, and sometimes we don't see enough of it because he's shackled by trying to run the state of affairs, what the team is. So maybe if that can be taking off him a little bit. And no, there's no doubt, Brad Arthur, he knows he's under the pump. He knows he's got to perform. He knows he's got to get his team at least to the top four to avoid any scrutiny. Well, unfortunately, I've got them coming sixth in the comp, but who knows from there. They've got Joey Lussick from, I think, the Super League. Papalihi, obviously, I spoke about. Bryce Cartwright, who hurt his jaw in training, which is unfortunate. But they've lost, as we spoke about, Stefano, Yoi Tuikamano, another big body, Kane Evans, Andrew Davies gone to Manly, George Jennings has gone to Melbourne, David Gower retired, Alvaro's gone to the Dragons, and Tuckerengi went to the Super League with Jamin Salmon going to Penrith. So they've lost a bit of experience and a bit of depth. I'd like to see Parramatta start blooding some of this young nursery they've got out there in the western suburbs of Sydney.
All right, there you have it. MG predicting Parramatta to finish sixth. MG, you just get the feeling that Dylan Brown is going to be a big part as to whether they can really challenge at the pointy end. Because Gutho can't play any better than he did last year.
I saw the game on the weekend at Penrith Park, and it was, look, both teams have got a lot more to give. Parramatta were never going to win the game. And I suppose, again, like we spoke about earlier with the Dragons, you've got the whole off-season to try different tricks, and Parramatta just didn't seem to have anything extra to give that I hadn't seen before. So that's something for Brad Arthur to work upon, and that's something for the halves in particular to try and work on for round one.
All right, well, good luck to Brad Arthur and his assistants in getting the club ready to roll for round one. Kevvy Walters and his assistants have been busy over the weekend, mainly your old mate John Cartwright. We're going to
I've toured with both of these guys, Johnsy and Carty, so I want to know what they've been up to, you buggers.
Well, you're going to get to that story next. The Rush Hour with MG and Liam, Triple M.
You're listening to the Triple M Rush Hour with MG, 6 to 7 p.m. weekdays on 104.9 Triple M.
It's the Rush Hour with MG and Liam Flanagan on Triple M. We're almost done for your Monday. How good is it to be talking footy on a Monday, even though they're trial games, MG?
It's exciting. It's very exciting. Jimmy Tarmow sounded great, and great to talk about an up-and-coming superstar in Joseph Suwali.
But before we go, a story came out over the weekend about your old friend John Cartwright, your old bash brother, your old second-row partner in crime, getting into a bit of a tussle with another bloke you've played with, Chrissy Johns.
Yeah, I toured with both these gentlemen, and obviously I played with Carty for a number of years at Penrith, and I played against Johnsy for a number of years as well when he played for the Broncos, and we found ourselves on the 1990 Kangaroo Tour together. I don't know. I think Carty stuck up for his old club, Penrith, and yes. I think Johnsy took aim at the fact that you're a Bronco now, so get rid of your Penrith blood, but you can't. Blood's blood, and what's in you is in you. When you win the comp with the team and you're the first team to do it, that stays with you forever. And Johnsy, he's got the same type of blood, so I hope they... I don't think there was that much in it, to be honest, Liam. These two know each other for over 30 years. I don't think there was... Cardi would bash him anyway, I think. Cardi's twice his size.
Imagine trying to tell a mountain man to not be a mountain man anymore.
That's right.
I mean, it's blasphemous. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying, don't be a man.
The report from the Courier-Mail was that Johns and Cartwright were engaged in a heated argument at the Caxton Hotel. Probably not the first heated argument the Caxton Hotel has ever seen in my life involving two rugby league players. But I wanted to get an idea from you, MG, because back in the day, before social media, this probably would have happened quite a bit.
We've had lots. I remember my first foray.
Can you tell us one that's safe for radio?
Okay, well, I remember my first trip away for the... It was 1988. I was 19 years of age, playing first grade. We went out to Narromine, played in a trial match against the combined country team. And, like, we won, 54-0 or something, and went back to the pub after it, and we're all sitting around having beers. I had about four or five beers, and I've got this... I had, when I played, I had a twitch when I'd flick my fingers and I'd wink and I'd twitch my eyes and it looked like I was winking at you. And Simo used to always bag me about it. He goes, "Stop winking at me." And I said, "Mate, I'm not. It's a twitch." So I noticed this bloke walked in the bar. This bloke was about 7 foot. He had tattoos from ear to ear and he was the biggest, maddest, angriest bloke in the pub. And I after two or three beers, looked over and I noticed that Simo was over there talking to him. And then after another beer, I'm looking at them. They're looking back at me. I'm going, "What's going on here?" Next minute, this monster's walked towards me, and I'm saying, "What the hell's going on here?" And he said, "If you wink at me one more time, I'm going to put you over that bar head first, you prick." I said, "Mate, it's not a wink." I said, "It's a twitch." And Simo and the rest of the team were on the ground, pissing themselves laughing at me. And I ended up having a drink with this bloke. It was called The Unit, aptly named.
The Unit.
I ended up having me and him drank all night together. So I had the last laugh in the end, but... That would have made, it was almost a punch on, I suppose, because of the fact that he thought I was trying to get onto him.
Oh, he thought you were having a bit of a...
Yeah, he thought I was winking at him. He thought I was... Simo said, that bloke over there is, I think he wants, wants on. So I'm there twitching and everything, and this bloke's going, "Oh, this bloke's, hey, mate,
the unit thought you were swiping left.
Yes, yes, yes. And I wasn't. I was 19 and I was nervous. As the unit found out later at about 1 o'clock in the morning.
Outstanding. I think the Chris Johns and John Cartwright story has a happy ending to it as well. Outstanding. Yep. All right, MG, we've got to get out of here. Tomorrow, you tell us which team will finish fifth. But until then.
As always, thank you so much for your ears. He's Liam. I'm MG. Wherever you are, stay random.